certificates. But a very, I'm really looking forward to this next segment because we're talking with Caroline Adams Miller, but she's a goal setting and performance coach. How are you today, Caroline?
I'm great. How are you?
You're on the air with Ace Hollerman on WICC 600 in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and I didn't know until this morning about your first book and the disease or disorder that led to that.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations on bouncing back and licking what bothers so many people, and that's bulimia nervosa.
Right. And actually, how I recovered from that disorder led me into the field of goal setting and becoming a performance coach. So it's interesting how the last 20 years have been about refining my approach to helping people get things done. And that is why this book, Creating Your Best Life, is so powerful, because it's the first book ever published in a self-help mass market way to actually include research, so that people aren't just going on vague anecdotes or, you know, kind of inspirational law of attraction stories. My book is absolutely chock full of the research that can change your life. And I think, you know, maybe I'm biased, but I think it's the best book ever published on how to actually make and accomplish a list of life goals. And I'd love to tell you why. Just ask me any question about it.
So your affliction there eventually led to this, to your becoming a goal setting and performance coach?
Right, because I did the unthinkable back in 1983. I put together my own recovery from bulimia, and I actually have a sequel to that. The book that came from that book was called My Name is Caroline, and the book I'm Still Caroline is coming out in 2009. But as a result of that, I had a lot of people approaching me professionally and just personally saying, how did you do it? How did you overcome this disorder when there's not even a treatment protocol in place? And I found, by studying what I had done and then studying the science of goal accomplishment, that I did some things instinctively and then some that I learned that actually took me from A to B and B to C and C to D. Then, on top of it, I was one of the first group of people to get a master's degree in applied positive psychology, and I got that at the University of Pennsylvania in May of 2006. And what I've done now, as a result of all of that learning, all of what I went through personally, and then what I've studied professionally, I've put together the first book to connect the science of happiness with the science of goal accomplishment. And it's a pretty powerful combination. But it did start in that kind of lonely place, you know, over 20 years ago, where I was down and out with an eating disorder. But boy, look what it created all these years later. I mean, really, I think, as Mehmet Oz, who's the doctor on the Oprah show, said, he said, Caroline has written a classic in the goal setting field, and I'm honored, because I do think this is the best book on this topic ever published.
Well, now, to a simple-minded radio personality such as myself, mm-hmm. I mean, setting goals, all right, I want to make more money this year. Obviously, it's not that simplistic.
Right. The first mistake people make from a research-based perspective is their goals are too vague. So your goals need to be very specific. And goal-setting theory does say that the best performance goals, and those are goals with specific outcomes, not learning goals, performance goals have to be what's called challenging and specific. And that means that if you stretch out your arm, your goal should be a little bit past your fingertips. But it should also be very, very specific. So that's the first mistake people make. The other is that they end up setting either mediocre goals, or they're also called low goals, or no goals at all. So people who just skip this whole New Year's resolution time are foolish, because this is a time when you can actually set goals and be way ahead of the game by setting the right kinds of goals, which I go into in great detail, because there is a science to setting a goal. It's not just about saying, I want this or I want that. There's a number of conditions that have to be met in order for a goal to be the right goal for you.
I'm catching on here. You know, I think, you know, it's not something that I've ever thought. I mean, I guess we all have our own goals, and we probably just do a poor job of setting them and a poor job of finding the right path toward them.
I think that's true, and I think a lot of people may have vague goals. Some people stop dreaming for themselves, especially, you know, wives and moms. They kind of get lost in the shuffle of caring for other people, and they stop having dreams for themselves. But everyone's got some kind of dream. It's just, you know, people end up not wanting to take the risks in order to make those dreams happen. So I have a whole section in the book on the importance of actually taking risks. I mean, the biggest risks produce the biggest rewards, and you don't want to be one of those people at the end of your life turning around and saying, you know, if only I had done this, if only I'd pursued this, because that's a pretty sad life. And studies have shown that you're more likely to be depressed if that's the kind of life you've lived. So you want to have appropriate but challenging goals for you that reflect your passions, your interests, your values, and you need to also be very mindful of the people who are in your life, because your social set, the people you spend time with, the people you work with, the people you value, the people in your family, all of these people have an extraordinary impact on who you become. So you have to choose to be in the company of the right kinds of people as much as possible. So birds of a feather flock together is absolutely on target when it comes to goal accomplishment.
Well, I agree with you there, because I had a former career as a musician before I did this. And I found that there were some musicians who were happy to stay in their hometown and, you know, plug it out and work and get some gigs. And then there were other more intrepid people, such as myself, who said, no, we've got to get out of here, man. We've got to go grab for something bigger than this.
Right. And the people who actually do that and for whom it fits, see, not everyone has those dreams for themselves, and it doesn't make them a bad person. It's just you have to honor your inner spirit. So for people who long to have a bigger life or a different life or to travel or whatever, it's important that they honor those urges instead of saying, well, I should do this or I should do that, because when you have the word should in your goals, that's a dead giveaway for what's called an extrinsic goal. And those are goals that other people set for you. The intrinsic goals, the ones that come from your real spirit, your passion, the things that you care about, the things that you want for yourself, the legacy that you want to leave for your life, those are the ones that produce the most persistence and the most joy. And everyone's list should be made up of intrinsic goals and not extrinsic goals. And I have a website, a social networking website, where people can log on and create their own goals and track them with the support of others. And it's just called Your100Things.com, and it's a wonderful interactive site, and everyone should have a life list. Everybody, even if it's only got 5 things on it, the happiest people have clear-cut life goals. And in my book, I have a number of worksheets I wrote for it in the back, including one just called 100 Things to Do Before I Die. So even if you can't get past 5 or 10, just get started, because life goals make us more hopeful. And when we're hopeful, we actually think and behave very differently.
We are talking with Caroline Adams Miller, author, a goal setting and performance coach. Her latest work, Creating Your Best Life, The Ultimate Life List Guide. Now, I've got one for you that people have said to me, and I have a certain answer, but I'd like to hear what yours is. And it's not an answer to a specific question. Let's say somebody's goal is a creative goal, or to improve their life, and the naysayers say, well, the odds are against you.
Right. Well, most people
what's your answer
say that.
Right.
What do you say? You say, do it anyway, because if you don't go against the odds and take risks, you're never going to go anywhere in life. And a lot of people are very uncomfortable when they're in the presence of people who have the nerve to go after their dreams. And it makes them uncomfortable because they don't want to feel bad about themselves. So you should always shake off the naysayers. I mean, if you went and looked at, like, you know, the people around Michael Phelps before the 2008 Beijing Olympics. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many of them do you think were saying to Michael, no one's ever done it, no one's ever won 8 gold medals? I'm sure those people were out there, but I'll bet you $1 million that they were nowhere near him, because he knows the science of surrounding yourself with upbeat, positive people who allow you to dream and go after things. And the studies are very clear that the more you shoot for the stars, the farther you're going to get.
Right, and I agree with you. You know, it's not just set your goals high. I think it's, or to dream the impossible. I think it's, and as I've said to people, and I'm harkening back to the music business, where I say, well, yes, you do need good luck, but you know what? You can make your own luck too.
Absolutely. absolutely. I mean, people who are quote-unquote lucky have made themselves available for the luck.
Well
and
put.
Since you're in the music business, you'll appreciate this. You know the guy who wrote the song "Hey There, Delilah" from the Plain White Tees?
I'm afraid not, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, he was nominated for Song of the Year for a Grammy in 2007, and he met this gorgeous woman, Delilah, at a party.
Cool.
And she wouldn't go out with him, and he said, "I'm going to write a beautiful song. It's about us, and it's going to be the best song I ever wrote." And he just set this impossible goal, and darn it, if he didn't get nominated for Song of the Year with "Hey There, Delilah." Very popular 2 years ago, or about a year ago, so it was up for Song of the Year last year. But that's the kind of story that most people go, "Oh, it'll never happen." He said, "Darn it, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go for a Grammy with this song because I want to impress you, Delilah." He never got a date, but he did get a song.
See, poor Delilah.
Yeah.
But you see,
he's gorgeous.
Now, I think
he's very funny and self-deprecating about it. But that little story shows you the power of setting your goals high and going for it. And then you're accountable to other people because you've actually stated your goals. I mean, the best goals are also where you're accountable to other people, not just to yourself, but other people know about your goals. So they're lending their support, they're brainstorming their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And because they know about your goals, you're a whole lot more likely to keep going in that direction.
I agree with you there, too. I had an experience with that, which I won't go into here. But I also think in the case of that songwriter, maybe the Delilah song doesn't hit, but maybe it comes close, and maybe that gives him the boost to write that next song that is the hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, goal accomplishment, you know, creates happiness, and happiness creates goal accomplishment. It's an interesting bidirectional, you know, thing that happens. And so happier people are more likely to accomplish their goals, and accomplishing your goal makes you happier. And guess what? When you're happier, you have more zest, you have more persistence, you're more hopeful, you dream bigger. So you're right. There is a domino effect of setting big goals, pursuing those goals, having the feelings of what's called self-efficacy as you pursue those goals, and then using that as a way to continue to fill your tank with enthusiasm and zest. And you know, people like that, they don't hang out with people who aren't like that. They hang out with other people who make them feel good too. So it's important to continue to fill your tank by being around other people like that as well.
Now, I'm going to pass two words on to you. Now, you know, you see, you do, I'm sure you do tons of these radio interviews, and you're handing out your knowledge and your expertise. But now I'm going to tell you two words that were the best advice I ever got about going after your goals. May I share them with you?
Of course.
I have to set it up. I'm boarding at a family's house in Boston. And I am going to share, we're going to keep people on hold. We're going to do a little bit of business. Can you stay with us, Caroline Miller? Because I'm really enjoying this.
Oh, absolutely, of course.
You hold on, and I'll tell you my two words, and I'll get back to you with weather and all that good stuff right after this.
Yes, you do.
Thank you for keeping it here on WICC600.com. Ace Hollerin in for Jim Buchanan. Today until 1 p.m. Talking with a fascinating woman, Caroline Adams Miller, and she is an author and a goal setting and performance coach from Bethesda, Maryland. Isn't Bethesda the home of Walt Whitman High School?
Yes, it is. How would you know that?
Because my buddy Dave Stetler went to Villanova with me, and he was from Bethesda, and I was racking my brain, and I'm thinking, yes, he went to Walt Whitman.
Good idea.
You
get all kinds of points for that. And then you also found the song, "Hey There, Delilah," during the break. So
that
you
was,
get more points
yep.
for that kind of hard effort.
That was our producer, Bucky, over there, who found the song during the break to make it more apropos, if you will.
Yeah, did you recognize it?
No. Yes, I did. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Mean, it was a really popular song, and it all started with him saying, "I'm going to write the best song I've ever written." And sure enough, it's the furthest the Plain White Tees have ever gone with a song.
So it helped them, too, you know. And now, was he part of the band?
He's the lead singer.
Oh, okay. I didn't know whether he was just a songwriter or a part of the band.
Yeah, he's part of the band, but he's also, I guess, a songwriter. His name
right.
is Tom Higginson, and he's the lead singer for the Plain White Tees. So it's a great story. It was my kids while I was writing this book this year, because I kind of had to do the impossible in writing this book in a short period of time. They would supply me with little goal-setting stories if they ran across them, and sure enough, this is one of the best ones in the book. So it's just a cute example of how if you have a goal, say it out loud, then you're accountable to other people.
I understand. Now, I'm going to tell you the best two words of advice I ever got, okay, about just about more about living your life than goal setting, if you will. Well, I was living with a family up in Boston. I was on a gig up there, and they were people of much more erudition and much more social class than my family was. And they sat down and had dinner every night and really had dinner. Candlelight, wine, the whole bit. I was not used to this. I'm 25. This was like a foreign territory. So the first night, they asked me to pour the wine at dinner. And I'm literally trembling with this wine bottle. And the woman of the house, Sigrid Watson, what a wonderful person. She grabbed my forearm and she looked me in the eye. She said, "Pour boldly."
I love it. What a good story. Can I use it?
Of course you may.
You know, that's just a great analogy for how we're supposed to live life. You know, this whole carpe diem approach. Are you familiar with the Carnegie Mellon lecturer, Randy Pausch, who gave his last lecture in September of 2007, and then he died this summer in August?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, his book called The Last Lecture was he knew he was dying. He had pancreatic cancer. He was told he would never get better. He was just going to die. He gave a last lecture. He's a young man in his 40s, handsome, vibrant. But he said, you know what? Live with gusto. Go after your life goals. Everyone should be going after their childhood goals at all times. And he gave this wonderful, inspiring lecture. I think something like 6 million people went to the site and watched the lecture in the first few weeks after it was up. But it's really all about you got to have dreams and you've got to go after them. Don't ever lose that childhood enthusiasm for living your very best life. So, like you say, pour boldly, live boldly, go after it. Why wait? You don't know if tomorrow's going to come. And in the first chapter of my book, I talk about, you know, some of what happened when people had brushes with death, like a skydiver who broke every bone in her body. Her chute didn't open. And while she was falling to the earth, the only thing that flashed in front of her eyes wasn't her dead relatives. She thought that was what happened. It was all the things she had never pursued in life that she had never had the guts to go after. She hit the ground. It took her about a year to rehab. Every bone was broken. And she now lives a completely different life that includes, you know, taking risks and going after them. And after 9/11, some of the survivors have completely changed their lives as a result of what they saw happen that day. You know, dreams extinguished in a second, because people hadn't taken the time to just go for it.
Yeah, I think, wasn't there a movie made about survivors of a plane crash? And
I'm not sure.
Oh, Jeff Bridges, I'm trying to think. And you know, like 10 people survived out of like 500, and these people became inexorably linked, and most of them went on and lived boldly because they realized what, you know, had almost been snuffed out for them.
Oh, I'd love to know what movie that is. I'm not familiar with it.
Maybe I'll get one of my listeners and I'll email you someday, Caroline, because
that would be great.
I have to find out what that is myself. Yeah, I'm, you know, I guess we're kindred spirits, but, you know, you're much more learned and have this, you know, this MAPP and everything. But I've long been a believer that, you have to, you know, you're not going to get the chips off the top shelf unless, you know, go get a ladder or something.
Right.
You know, or get somebody to help you. In other words, you don't have to always do it yourself either.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, people who are resilient and people who actually get the things in their lives that they want, it doesn't matter if they have education. It just, what matters is that you have a way to go get the information, that you know who to ask, or you have the confidence to know that somehow you're going to go find it. So it's not about being a smart person. It's about being a gritty person, someone who just hangs in there. In fact, I have an entire chapter on just this quality called grit. That is now the leading indicator of who drops out at West Point and who finals in the National Spelling Bee. Truly, grit is one of the predictors of success in life, and that's something you can learn. You have to be willing to hang in there and not be a quitter. And this generation, I think it's called Generation Y, in their 20s, I mean, this is the biggest bunch of quitters we've ever had.
They don't
know how to follow through.
I don't know.
So they're all about starting at the top. You've got to have grit to make it anywhere in life.
What? What? Come on, I'm doing a Generation Wire.
What's that?
I'm doing my Generation Y impersonation.
Oh. What? I didn't see you.
You only have a sob?
Well, not everybody is like that, but I have to say this quality of grit is huge, and you can take the grit scale for free on the internet and see what your score is. But it's really, really important that people have a way to not quit, that they're resilient enough to keep going in the face of setbacks, because, you know, we're all going to have setbacks. If it were easy to get what you want, everyone would have what they want. But the point is, you got to be resilient. You got to be surrounded by the people who help you be upbeat. You got to work on your happiness level. I have all the research tested ways. There are about 7 of them that have been proven to make people a little bit happier. And if you're a little bit happier, guess what? You're a lot more likely to accomplish your goals. So it all fits in together really nicely. But it all starts with a list. You got to have a list. And you'd be shocked at how many people have never made their first list of life goals.
Now, Caroline Miller, as we wrap up here, tell us about the exact name and publisher of the new book and of the life of the goals book, and about the website, please.
Okay, well, I have a few websites, but the name of the book is called Creating Your Best Life, The Ultimate Life List Guide, and I wrote it to be the only guide you'll ever need to accomplishing goals, and it's the first and only book that's filled with research. And so any other book you've seen out there, from The Secret to Getting Things Done, they're fine for some people, but if you want The Thinking Man's Person to Getting Goals Accomplished, this is the only book to buy. It's a comprehensive guide to getting books, I mean, getting your goals accomplished and your list made. It's published by Sterling. The official pub date is January 6th, but it's widely available. Everyone I know has found it in a local bookstore already. I have several websites. The book website is creatingyourbestlifelist.com. The social networking goals site I have is your100things.com. And if you want to find me and see what I do professionally on top of writing books, I'm carolinemiller.com.
Well, thanks for spending that time with us. I really, really got something out of this. And it's not just sometimes the usual fodder. Thank you, Caroline Miller. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Okay, God bless, and we'll find out more about Caroline Miller, and I'll point you to her website and all that good stuff. But right now, it's the top of the hour, a beautiful day in Bridgeport. News, traffic, weather together. Back with